Back in John chapter 18, we've been reading up to this point, and Judas gathered a band of men to come and take the Lord, and he asked them, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "We seek Jesus of Nazareth." And he said, "I am," and they all fell back like trees. And then he allowed them to take him. He allowed himself. He proved, "You cannot take me, but I'm going to do this to myself." So he allowed himself to be taken, but he allowed it on this condition. Verse 8 here in John 18. Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way." That's the condition. If you seek me, if you're going to take me, then you have to let all of my disciples go their way. So all the disciples fled. They all went running. And Peter came back. And another disciple. Look at verse 15. It says, "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest, but Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter." Peter couldn't get in. He had to stand out. This other disciple, he could get in. He was known by the high priest, and he was known by the damsel that kept the door, and he had the authority to get Peter in. Most of the commentators say that this was probably Nicodemus or Joseph of Arimathea, but it doesn't say. But he was known by the high priest, and he had authority in there. Well, he went to this damsel, and he told her to let Peter in. Verse 17 says, "Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? And Peter said, I'm not. I'm not." I thought about this other disciple as Peter was walking in. He's standing there, and he said, "Come on." And Peter's walking in, and this little damsel said, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" And he looked at her and said, "I'm not." Now, is it not amazing that God Almighty laid it on the heart of the high priest to make a little girl charge of the door? I don't know how old she was, but she was a maid, a damsel. Isn't that kind of an important job? You think about that. Peter couldn't, he had to stand there because a little girl said he couldn't come in. Our Lord allowed that to happen to prove to Peter and to prove to us, without me, you can do nothing. You're powerless. You're helpless. You can do absolutely nothing. Just a couple of hours earlier, Peter made the statement, "They all may deny you, but not me. I never will." If the strength of the Lord leaves us to ourselves, if the hand of the Lord leaves us to ourselves, all it will take is just a little girl. That's all it will take. Asking us, "Aren't you a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ?" And you know what we'll say? "I'm not." That's all it'll take. If the Lord takes his hand off of us, that's all it'll take. "I'm not." Now, our Lord told us something at the very beginning of this event. John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18 happened in one night. And our Lord told us something at the very beginning of this event. So I want to say it at the very beginning of this message. Turn with me to John 13. John 13, look at verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Right from the beginning, this is what's going to happen. Let not your heart be troubled. You're going to forsake me? He just told them, they gathered for the Passover, and he said, one of you is going to betray me this night. And they were all filled with sorrow. You're going to forsake me. You're going to deny me. All of your sin and your guilt and your shame is going to send me to a cross. What you're about to do is going to send me to a cross. Let not your heart be troubled. Isn't that kind? Isn't that so kind? Look at John 12. This is precious. John 12, verse 27 says, Our Lord said, Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Let not your heart be troubled. This is the whole reason I came. This is the whole reason I came. I came to trouble my own soul so that your soul could not be troubled. That's the promise of the gospel. But poor Peter, he still had to go through the sin. And so do we. And it is so painful. We know that the Lord has put away our sin, the sins that I have yet to commit for the rest of my life. And as I go through them, it's going to hurt. Man, it's going to hurt. With each and every one, may this ring out in our hearts. Let not your heart be troubled. Is he saying don't feel sorry for it? No. But let not your heart be troubled. I came to trouble my own soul so that your soul could not be troubled. Go with me back to chapter 18. Verse 18 says, And the servants and officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Peter was cold. That's why he was in the spiritual state he was in. He was cold. He was very cold. The Son of Righteousness, who rises with healing in his wings, the warmth of God was standing right in there. Peter stood with him. He tried to warm himself by their fire, but there's no spiritual warmth to be had. There's just none. Back in verse 10, Peter was standing with his Lord. And he was so hot, he was too hot for his own good. He was faced with 600 men. That's a band of soldiers. 600 men with weapons. And verse 10 says, Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. Standing in front of 600 men with weapons. He was standing with his Lord, right beside his Lord. But now he's standing with them, and he's so cold. He's just so cold. He doesn't have the courage. to stand up for the name of Christ to a little girl. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever been there? You know, we judge Peter just like Peter judged the other 11. They all may deny you, but I won't. We look at Peter and say, well, Peter did that, but I wouldn't. Have you ever been there? Every one of us has. Peter is not alone. And do you know what gives us hope and comfort in spite of all our failings? We are nothing but failure in the eyes of our Lord. Nothing but failure. I don't have courage for Christ. I just don't. But do you know what gives us all comfort and hope in spite of our failings? Lamentations 3 says, great is thy faithfulness. His compassions fail not. The song we sing says, morning by morning, new mercies I see. That's our hope. Yes, I will fail. I will fall. He won't. He won't. Now think about this. It was cold that night. Our Lord just left the Garden of Gethsemane. It was cold. They were all standing by a fire because it was so cold. This sailor who's used to being out on the ocean with the spray is so cold. Peter is freezing to death, but his Lord is in there sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. Isn't that what it said about him? Freezing cold. He is sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. There is no warmth in me. Do you ever say that? Lord, there's no warmth in me. Look over to your Lord, and we'll all say, didn't our heart burn within us? But Peter, he just wasn't doing that. And I don't either, but by the hand of God and the grace of God. He was not looking to his Lord. He was not drawing nigh to his Lord. He was not begging his Lord for warmth. He was not begging his Lord for warmth. If I learn one thing from this, may it be this. Constantly beg my Lord for warmth. He's the sun. He can give it. Lord, I'm cold. I'm standing over here cold, and I'm trying to warm myself by every fire that they've got burning, but I'm freezing cold. May I learn to beg my Lord for warmth. Verse 19, John 18, verse 19, it says, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. They were trying to bring a spiritual charge against him, trying to find out if he's preaching lies. They had to have something on him. They couldn't find anything. Verse 20 says, Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. Openly. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Now our Lord said over in Matthew 11, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. But this gospel is not a hidden gospel. You know that? It's not a hidden gospel. Our God does not have to conceal this gospel. And the reason is because men are blind. They're blind. They can't see it. The only way any sinner can see this, see the truth, is if God chooses to give him eyes to see. That's the only way. The Lord said to Manoah, why do you ask my name, seeing it is secret? But this gospel is not a secret gospel. God did not say, whisper it to my people. He said, you get up on the rooftops. He said, get thee up into the high mountain, lift up thy voice, lift it up with strength, say unto the cities, behold your God. Men can't hear it, though, because they're deaf. The only way a sinner is ever going to hear this gospel is if God gives him ears to hear. The Apostle Paul called this gospel a mystery. But our Lord thanked his Father for revealing it to babes. A child can understand God's gospel. If the Lord would reveal it, a child can understand God's gospel. The only reason it's a mystery is because man's understanding and his wisdom and his heart is darkened. He's dead. He's dead. By nature, he's dead. The only way he'll ever understand this word is if God gives him light. So they asked the Lord, what are you preaching? What are you saying? And he said, why don't you ask the ones I've given life to? Ears and eyes and a heart to. Verse 21, he said, why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me. Some of them heard me. I gave them ears to hear. Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know. They know what I said. Verse 22, and when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, answerest thou the high priest so? Now, if you have a margin in your Bible, with the palm, my margin says, with a rod. With a rod. When I read that verse of Scripture, this thought came into my mind. At that exact moment in time, there is really not that much difference in this officer and in Peter. Not really. This officer struck him in the face. Peter was spitting in his face. Something in it. There's a difference, though, in these two. There's a difference. One of them is going to be forgiven. One of them is going to be redeemed. What's the difference? The difference is the will and the choice and the love and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We all come from the same lump. I think the one thing that we ought to really take note of in this story is there's not one sinner here that's better than another. We all come from the same lump. What makes me to differ? Christ alone. He chose me. The mercy and the grace of Christ alone. Verse 23, Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? I'll show you exactly why. Exactly why. See if you can find Micah chapter 5. If you have a Bible like mine, it's 1155. Micah chapter 5. Verse 1 says, now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. Not daughter of Zion, daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel. Who is the judge of Israel? John 5 says it's Jesus Christ. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. That's what they're going to do to him. They're going to smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. Why did that officer smite the Lord with a rod upon the cheek? He had to. That the Scripture might be fulfilled. He had to. We're going to see as we continue through this trial and his crucifixion, it's almost like they had the Old Testament open, saying, okay, we are supposed to do this next. Okay, now we're supposed to. Everything they said that the Old Testament said would happen, it happened. Every single one. Our Lord was in absolute control of every second of it. He knew it was coming. He knew it was coming. In just a moment, he's going to smite me with a rod. Everything that happened. He wrote it. He wrote this. Absolute control of everything. Back over to John 18. Verse 24 says, "Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew." Matthew's account says he denied it with an oath, and he began to curse and to swear. Can you imagine the heartache of knowing I cursed God's name? His name is so holy. It is so holy. The scripture says we should never even say it in vain. It is so holy. If we say his name, it better be for a purpose. Really. It needs to be for a purpose. People say his name so commonly, so flippantly. I have such a hard time. We sing songs that say Jesus. And I cannot rewrite all these songs. So we just sing them. You know, it's written in his word. You know, the Lord wrote it this way, and it just says, call his name Jesus. He'll save his people from his sin. But his name is so holy. It's just, Jesus is just too common for me. It's just too holy. It's just too holy. We call him Lord. We call him the Lord Jesus. We call him the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just don't flippantly say that name. You know, something dramatic will happen and you'll hear people say, Lord, oh, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Holy. Peter here, though, he was cursing his name, his apostle, his friend, cursing his name. Luke's gospel points out something I want us to see. Go over to Luke 22. Luke 22, look at verse 60. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Every time I read it, that amazes me. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. This grown man. When the Lord looked at Peter, here he is standing there taking his rod, taking his accusations, and he knows what Peter's doing over there. He told him he would do it. And the third time, Peter says, If you say that I'm with him one more time, so help me. And the cock crows, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And when the Lord looked at him, and when he showed him his sin at that moment, I see your sin. And when he broke Peter's heart at that moment, you know what the Lord did for him right then and there? You know what that was? You know what that was? Listen to this quote by a man named J.C. Ryle. He said, now listen to this. He said, the same pitiful hand that saved him from drowning when his faith failed him on the waters was once more stretched out to raise him when he fell in the high priest's hall. He's saying, I don't, fallen. All he had to do was look at him. All he had to do was look on him. He just looked at him. David wrote in Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. As soon as Peter was broken down, he was no more fallen. No more fallen. He was so sad. He was so sorry over his sin against the Lord. But the Lord, in tender, loving kindness, he comforted Peter. And I'll close with this. Go with me to Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 1 says, and when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you. I have a message for all the disciples and Peter. Do you think that that angel spoke on his own? He was sent with a message. Tell the disciples, I was told to say, and Peter. You tell Peter I love him. Tell Peter he's going to see me. You tell Peter to glory in my faithfulness and glory in my mercy. And then tell everybody else to do the same thing. Tell Peter, go tell the Gentiles, do the same thing. Glory in my faithfulness and in my mercy. That is the only thing a sinner can glory in, isn't it? That's it. Oh, the tender, loving mercy and compassion of our Lord. We glory in that. All right, let's stand together.